Welcome back to Saturday Miss for having a conversation with IQ Al Rasooli, who is not only a foremost expert on Islam, but is one of the few well-informed, rational individuals in the world. And so I'd like to speak with IQ a little bit about the Ukrainian crisis that exists today. The President of the United States in a speech just said that there needed to be a ceasefire, and amongst the belligerents in the ceasefire, he mentioned, he said, the Ukrainians, the Russians, and the Russian separatists. Have the Russians somehow engaged in the Ukrainian war, and I just missed it? Why would the President of the United States say that the Russians have to participate in a ceasefire?
I have no idea. It's Obama. Does he have rationality? The answer is no.
Of course not.
What has he done in 6 years that is rational?
Well, that'd be an easy answer. When 20 years ago, when Ukrainians voted that they didn't want to be part of Russia any longer, if that vote had been in Florida or in Texas, and the Texans said, and the Floridians said, that we don't want to be part of the United States any longer, would the United States have responded by saying, okay, that's all right, you can, Texas, if you want to become your own independent country, that's just fine, or Florida, do the same?
I don't think they would have done that.
No. Yeah, Russia didn't go to war to prevent the Ukraine from the people's wish, you know, the people in this area now called the Ukraine. It actually is a number of different independent communities. But the Russians did not go to war against them and said, no, you can't vote your way out of Russia, even though they've been part of Russia for over 300 years previously. So why is it now that when those in Donetsk and Luhansk vote 95% to disassociate from the government in Kiev, why is it that their votes don't count now?
And they should secede if they wanted to.
Now, so the belligerents in this war, did the Russian separatists go to war against the Ukrainian government, or when the Russian separatists in Donetsk said, we don't want to be part of the Kiev government anymore, was it the Ukrainians that decided that they were going to call them terrorists and send their army against them?
It was Ukraine who did it. And I can't understand, I really can't. I don't understand why they're doing it. Because it's not a huge area.
No, it's tiny.
We're not talking about 10, 20% of Ukraine separating, or even 10% of Ukraine separating. It's a small area.
Yeah, it might be.
The majority of which are Russian.
Yeah, if you were to look at the entire area of Donetsk and Luhansk, it would probably be 10% of the size of the Ukraine. But the ethnic makeup of those people is such that they will never want to be part of a unified Kiev-oriented government. The only rational thing is to let them form their own country or ally with Russia.
They don't all have their own country. They want to be part of Russia.
Yeah, because they're Russians. If we look at all of this, did it not start because the West, United States, and Europe wanted the Ukraine, which had always been part of Russia, and the Warsaw Pact to be part of NATO? Was that the thing that inspired it all from the beginning?
From 1989, if I remember correctly, the collapse of the Soviet Union, and when Yeltsin and Gorbachev allowed all of them to separate, from that day on, all that the West wanted to do was to undermine Russia.
Right. Still fighting the Cold War. So when all of the U.S. politicians accused Putin of living in the past and trying to restart the Cold War, it was actually the West that was doing that, and doing it deliberately, and doing it initially by way of money, saying that that the West wanted to supply the billions of dollars that the Ukraine would need to become a viable country.
Definitely, no question about it.
And in fact, the West supplied billions of dollars. The International Monetary Fund was the first to loan the Ukraine money and did so four times. And none of those four times did Ukraine pay the money back. In fact, it totals now $30 billion.
Because they're not functional.
No, they aren't functional.
That's it.
And so this last riot that took place in Kiev was all sponsored by America and Europe taunting the Ukrainians to say, our money is better than the Russian money. You take our loan and be part of NATO as opposed to taking the Russian money. And so we bribed them with $25 billion worth of money from the International Monetary Fund after they'd already squandered $30 billion. That's how this thing began, didn't it?
Reason. I cannot understand the reason of America and the West of doing it. There is absolutely no reason for it.
Right.
Russia is not the enemy.
Correct. But by the way, America is making Russia the enemy, and Russia may soon be painted into a corner where it only has one option, which is to lash out at the country that is doing so much harm to it. So if America hadn't done that, then there would be no war there, and if there was no war there, that airplane would not have been shot down.
Yeah, as you said, cause and effect.
When the ethnic Russians voted to be part of Russia and not be part of the Ukraine government, why is it that their will, the will of the people, a democratic vote, is not considered? Because the vote went against the United States and its wishes? Is that the reason? You know, in this particular case, IQ, is it not true that the West, by squandering now $25 billion on top of the $30 billion we've already squandered with the Ukraine, that the West would have gotten 85% of the Ukraine as part of NATO if it just simply ceded, allowed the people who were ethnic Russians and Donetsk and Crimea to join Russia, then everybody would have gotten what they wanted, even though it would have cost the West $30 to $60 billion to accomplish it.
But it wouldn't have cost them that. There would have been no reason for it to cost them so much money. There is no reason for them to invest so much money in Ukraine. Ukraine is dependent on Russia. What this Ukrainian government is trying to do is stupid.
Yes.
They are dependent on Russia. They owe Russia billions of dollars for gas and electric. How are they going to put it? How are they going to pay it?
They can't.
How is
the matter of fact, they're
going to pay it with $18 trillion worth of debt?
Correct. Yeah, the United States is taunting Russia to say, you've got to continue to supply natural gas to the Ukraine and to Europe, but we're not going to allow any of the IMF money to be used to pay down the existing debt, which is about $3 billion. And Russia said, well, then if you're not going to pay down the existing debt and they're not going to pay in advance for gas, then we're just going to stop supplying them. And they were wholly dependent on Russia. And we didn't even think that through.
Well, our leader didn't think that through.
No.
You and I. We knew.
Now,
in
this particular case, while I do think it is likely that the separatists fired that missile, I do think that they captured the missile when the separatists who had served in the Russian army and had served in the Ukrainian army took over a number of Ukrainian weapons bases in Donetsk. Perfectly clear to me that they would be the ones who would have fired that missile.
Yeah, but why would they do that? I mean, there was no reason to shoot down a civilian aircraft.
Because they didn't know it was a civilian. Because they didn't know it was a civilian aircraft. Now, it's true that the Ukrainians have shot down a civilian aircraft. They shot down an aircraft filled with Israelis because the Ukrainians are ridiculously anti-Jew. The most anti-Jewish nation on earth is the Ukraine. And by the way, so have the Americans. Americans shot down a civilian aircraft. We claim we didn't know it was a civilian aircraft at the time. The Russians have done it. The Ukrainians have done it. I am convinced that, yeah, it was the separatists who fired the Russian missile, but that the Russians did give them the missile system. The missile system was just taken from one of those bases. In fact, there's June 29th is when this particular battery, I think, was confiscated from the Ukrainians. And they had no idea that it was a civilian aircraft, and shot it down thinking that it was another Ukrainian aircraft coming to bomb them, which the Ukrainians were doing regularly. If the Ukrainians were not bombing the residents of Donetsk, this would never have happened.
Something else. ISIS has got anti-aircraft weapons now.
Of course they do. You know, yes. how they came to get them?
We are going to have civilian aircraft of Europe and America shot down.
Of course. Well, this is just the beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the fact is that...
This is my brother's
book. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's, in the rhetoric out of the United States, whereby we are blaming Russia. You know, the Russians didn't supply the anti-aircraft battery. The Russians didn't tell them to go shoot down a commercial airliner. The Russians aren't the ones who are inspiring the government to attack its own people.
By the way,
yes,
it is because the Russians didn't do that that Putin today made advancements or talks with his opposite number in Ukraine to calm things down.
Yes.
It's getting out of hand.
Of course. Oh, it's, you know, and as a matter of fact, you know, the Obama says, you know, there needs to be a ceasefire, and he includes Russia. Russia has nothing to do with any of this. Russia has shown enormous restraint. And by the way, if the Russians were giving weapons to their citizens, the ethnic Russians in Donetsk, it would be humanitarian for them to do so, because it's the only way that they're able to defend themselves and their civilians from the onslaught of this ruthless government out of Kiev. It would be appropriate for the Russians to do so, but thus far there's no evidence whatsoever that the Russians have done so.
Correct. There is no evidence at the moment, only hearsay.
Right. From a government that is amongst the least honest in human history. And we'll speak in the next segment about the labels and accusations being made by the Kiev government with IQ Al Rasuli, because the world is being brought down, tugged right down to world war. Welcome back to Shatteringness. IQ, it's my contention that through the State Department and the CIA, which work in cahoots together around the world, that the audio communications between various departments of state, acknowledging that they were working with and trying to inspire the rioters, the protesters that overthrew the legitimate government of the Kiev, that they were doing so with United States backing and United States encouragement, with promises from the United States that the United States, through the IMF, would supply billions of dollars to them and would support them in their coup attempt. That this war is a direct effect, a direct consequence of the United States government, its State Department, its administration, and its CIA. We created this war, and now the consequence of this war is the downing of this civilian aircraft. Would you like to challenge that?
The America created it with the help of Europe also.
Yeah.
Europeans are just as guilty.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if the Europeans are just as guilty. There was a comment by the Russians today that the Europeans are go along now, but very passively with the Americans, only because the Americans blackmailed them. America has really gone into the blackmail game, and we're heavy into it now. For example, the United States blackmailed a French bank to give it to surrender $9 billion. The United States is blackmailing countries and companies around the world by saying, unless you capitulate and just surrender to our demands, then we will do X, Y, Z. I think, while I'm not, don't want to exonerate Europe, I think that whatever rhetoric you get from Europe as it relates to the Ukraine is a direct result of blackmail by the United States.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to disagree with it. But Europe knows they can't push Russia too much. They know that. They are dependent on Russian oil. They're dependent on Russian gas to survive. They know that.
And by the way, there are essentially no natural gas and oil reserves in Europe. And the largest two natural gas discoveries on Earth and repositories on Earth are both in the southern region of Russia and in Siberia. And northern Siberia. Those are the two largest in the world. They're both controlled by Russia. And as a matter of fact, what is stupid about the most recent Obama sanctions is that the primary sanctions were put against Russia's largest oil company, which is the world's largest freely held oil company. They're the only one that's larger is the one that's owned by the thugs in Saudi Arabia. And if they, in fact, disrupt its ability to extract, to transport, and deliver oil and gas, they could easily put the world into an economic crisis.
But it's not going to happen because Russia and China are working together now.
Yes.
And they're going to use their own money instead of dollars.
And so why is the United States pushing both Russia and China to become enemies?
Being stupid. Well, what can I tell you? This is utter stupidity. This has nothing to do with logic anymore.
You know, one of the things that's so amazing here with making Russia as the enemy is that if we're going to dissuade the Iranians, and the talks with the Iranians have now completely fallen apart. The Iranians have saying we're going to continue to enrich uranium
because
they want to bomb.
Intention.
Right.
You know and I know Islam will never abide by any rule within infidel.
Correct.
It is impossible.
And the only hope that the U.S. even had of curtailing them just a little was to form an agreement with the Russians.
Russia.
Because Russia has far more influence. In fact, the largest trade agreement ever signed in modern times is between Russia and Iran. It's the largest trade agreement in modern history is between those two countries. You have no influence over Iran unless you have influence over Russia. And if you're going to make Russia an enemy, what does that do to you? In terms of negotiating, why would you make Russia an enemy as you're trying to constrain Iran's development of a nuclear weapon?
I'll tell you why. Because Obama is not an American citizen. Obama, whether people agree with him or not, is irrelevant. Obama is an Islamist. He has done everything in his power in 6 years to destroy the United States of America. There's no question. In my mind, none whatsoever. Maybe you have a different point of view, but that's up to you.
Well, certainly, he has done everything he can to elevate Islam worldwide. His speech in Cairo is the reason for the Islamic reformation that has turned much of the world into a war zone. So whether or not he's a Muslim or not, he certainly supports Islam over American interests. And is on the cusp now in his war against Russia of losing all chance of resolving the nuclear ambitions of Iran. It's a tragic day.
This Friday.
Yes.
Hi. Thank you very much.
Thank you back for shattering this. If you're not enraged by the rhetoric of the President of the United States and by that of John McCloud, who was also incendiary. And you don't recognize that as it relates to the Ukraine, America is the perpetrator. We're the instigator. We instigated the riots that overthrew the popularly elected government. We were the first to go in and congratulate the thugs on the wonderful job they had done of overthrowing the popular government. We were the first to throw money at them, to go tell them that they ought to subdue the rest of the country. We were the first to tell them that when they voted to separate from Russia, that that vote counted, and the first to say that when they voted to reunite with Russia, that that vote didn't count. We are the country supplying NATO advisors, CIA advisors, State Department advisors, and taxpayer money to perpetrate a war against their own people. And in the midst of that war, a civilian airliner was shot down. And rather than saying, oh, you know, whoops, cause and consequence, this got out of control, all we were trying to do was bring a country into the NATO alliance, because we've never in Washington ever grown up beyond the Cold War. That was the last war that we won. So we want to go and fight that war again. And so when the civilian airliner was knocked down, we're tongue-lashing Russia again. What's wrong with us? It's reprehensible. You know, I read the commentary on the news stories, and it is it's so sad that the majority of Americans are bewildered, beguiled, led as if sheep to conclusions that are irrational. Well, Putin would have every moral reason to supply advisors and weapons to the Russian separatists who are being bombed from the air by artillery, by tanks, by the thugs out of Kiev who want to label freedom fighters terrorists, whose every rhetoric is terrorist this and terrorist that. There's not a single terrorist act being perpetrated by them. Shooting down the plane wasn't even a terrorist act because they didn't know it was a civilian airliner. Should they have been the ones that shot it down? And I think that that's the most likely assessment of the information we have at this point, is that it was the separatists who shot down the plane. They had no idea that it was a civilian airliner. They absolutely would not have fired the missile if they had known. But guess what they don't have? They don't have an FAA. They don't have an air traffic control capability. They're not monitoring squawks on airplanes. They're not talking to pilots. Should they have known that that was an airway that's being used by commercial aircraft? Yes. Did they? No. But that's the most likely scenario in this particular case. But it's not a terrorist act. There's no attempt to say, boy, there's a civilian aircraft. Let me bring that down. That'll really rally the world to our cause. That kind of thinking is just stupid. I heard so many people last night, ex-military, saying that there is no chance it was an accident, that it was a deliberate act of terrorism. It's absolutely nonsense. Those separatists that the Ukrainians want to call terrorists have not committed a single terrorist act. There have been terrorist acts perpetrated against them. For example, when the Ukrainian military herded them into a building and then burned them alive in Odessa, that was a terrorist act. But the Russians, they're not committing terrorist act. They're ethnic Russians there. They're trying to defend themselves against the military out of Kiev. That's the problem that we have committed there. Now, today, for example, electricity, water supplies, completely knocked out in the second largest city in the Donetsk region, and Luhansk. Artillery fire by the Kiev government destroyed a power plant, ignited an oil refinery. The oil refinery is ablaze, taken out of commission. The electricity has been cut off. The water pumps are no longer working. Here's a large city without electricity, without water, without fuel. And perpetrated by the fact that the Kiev government is out of control. They're absolutely insane. Every time that their mouth opens, they're lying about Russia. And they're labeling citizens of what used to be their country terrorists when they haven't committed a single terrorist act. They're incapable of telling the truth. And yet the news media was quoting them all day. You know, they talk about how these Russian separatists committed a terrorist act, and then they, in the next breath, they want to blame Russia. Well, if it was Russia that did it, then the Ukrainian rebels didn't. Then the Russian separatists didn't. Contradictory testimony, completely out of context with reality. And yet, it would be moral, it would be appropriate for the Russians to support the defense of their citizens, of Russians, in Donetsk. This is a game that we're playing of instigating a war and then blaming the peacemaker for instigating that war, for causing that war, is a game from which there is no resolution. America has become a nation of liars, a nation of blackmailers, a nation of mass murderers. And it doesn't matter who fired that missile. The deaths of those 300 innocent people is because of the United States. They died because of cause and consequence, because the United States created a war in the Ukraine for the express purpose of garnering the Ukraine as part of the NATO alliance. And yet they're nothing but a liability. I don't want to infer here that the ethnic Russians are good guys and that the Western Ukrainians are bad guys. They're both evil. The two worst incidents, a part of the worst incidents in modern history, the Holocaust, the two most egregious acts and the most egregious act in modern history, the Holocaust, both took place in Ukraine. The Ukrainians are savages. That's why in the 20 years that they've been apart from Russia, they've had two civil wars, two revolutions. That's why they have borrowed money from the Russians and the Europeans and the Americans. They haven't paid anybody back. Every time they borrow money, they renege on the terms. Every time they take oil from the Russians, they fail to pay them. They're scum. They ought to be left alone. Isolate them. The only hope for them is to be integrated into a country that is willing to take care of them. That shouldn't be America. If there's some nation in Europe that's stupid enough to want to add the burden of these dependents, these enraged anti-Semites, to their taxpayers' already increasing burden, then so be it. But I don't recall anybody holding a referendum in the United States saying, do you want your hard-earned money confiscated by your government from you so that it can be given to take care of a new group of dependencies? Do you want to be responsible for the upkeep of the Ukrainians because they can't take care of themselves? I don't recall that referendum. We have nothing to gain in Ukraine. Shut up. Leave it alone. Let them decide what they wish to do. Stop rattling the saber. Stop bringing NATO troops to the border. Stop giving them money. Stop giving them advice. Stop rallying around and supporting them. Let this go away. If the United States would just shut up, this plane would not have been shot down. This war would not be fought. But by combining this conflict and the rhetoric coming out of the United States, at the same time that the Islamic State has built the most successful, the best armed, the most financially well-off Islamic terrorist organization in world history, and rather than dealing with that, we're tongue-lashing Israel. We're tongue-lashing the Chinese. We're tongue-lashing the Russians. And yet the mess that is ISIS, we made. We equipped them. We armed them. We broke Iraq that made it all possible. And yet, all we can do is continue to throw kerosene on the very wildfires that we have created. What on earth is wrong with us? And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is the single most dangerous time the world has experienced since the midst of World War II. And in many ways, this is a vastly worse scenario because there is no resolution for the Islamic State. You cannot prevail over them in a traditional war. There is no collection of countries that can go up against the Islamic State and prevail because it is a religious crusade. And there is nothing that we can do to resolve America's animosity between Russia and China that is taking place simultaneously. The world is being torn apart before our very eyes. And we are on the cusp of world war. And yet, there doesn't seem to be a single sane voice anywhere amongst the world's leadership, anywhere in the media, anywhere in politics, anywhere in the military. We're doing this to ourselves. It's insane. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We have Glenn on the line, having called in from the Philadelphia area. I'd love your insights into all that we've discussed thus far in the program, Glenn. Well, Glenn, I show you again.
Go ahead. I've been listening to what you've been saying, and something jumped out at me in what you were talking about earlier, and that is that the Kiev government is destroying things, infrastructure, water, power, and of all things, a refinery. Now, what kind of idiot destroys infrastructure and territory that they hope to take militarily? How many years is it going to take to put that refinery back in service
And the power plant and the water pumping station.
Yes, in a nation that's going to be short on gas and it's going to need alternate sources of fuel.
The Kiev government took an assessment of its military about 4 months ago. And in their assessment of its military, they said that its military was incapable of bringing the Russian separatists under control because 80% of the money that had been invested, it was about $5 billion, that had been invested in the Ukrainian military was confiscated. It didn't go to training or to weapons systems or to salaries. It was stolen, 80% of the money. And that the 20% that was left created a military that was discouraged, improperly trained, improperly equipped with equipment that was out of date and was no longer functioning. And yet this military now seems to be able to fire, drop bombs from bombers, from helicopters, engage fighters, bring artillery and tanks and the like. Gee, I wonder who is supplying that capability.
Right, exactly. And then plus what they're doing with it just doesn't make a lick of sense.
It's amazing too that a country that is deploying its military against its own people is able to do so without the world objecting. And yet labeling those who are trying to defend themselves from that military as terrorists.
They've actually been persuaded to destroying themselves.
Correct.
You know, it's suicidal.
The Russians finally said today that, the Ukrainians are so desperate to provoke the Russians for engaging in this war that the Ukrainians are routinely firing into Russia. They're firing their artillery into Russia. They're shooting missiles into Russia. And the Russians finally said, we've had enough of this. The next time that you Ukrainians deliberately attack Russian soil with your weapon systems, we're going to take out your weapon systems.
Well, right. They can take out their weapon systems. They can also take out all of their aerial capabilities in probably, what, half a day? You know, something like that. I mean, forget about, they won't be able to put an aircraft in the air with properly targeted bombardment of their air forces.
Yeah, I mean, the anti-aircraft weapons that are being used there were made there, and they're all Russian because the Ukraine was part of Russia for 200 years, and until 20 years ago, was the place that most Russian weapons were made. And so it bristles with the Russian weapons, and the Russian weapons are used by both sides. This particular surface-to-air missile battery, very sophisticated battery, both sides have them because both sides have access to Russian weapons because every Ukrainian base has nothing but Russian weapons in them. You know, and this comment from the ex-American general saying, well, you know, it couldn't have been by accident, and the Russians had to be involved because this is a very sophisticated weapon system, and it requires training. Well, these Russian separatists, don't you think they were part of the Russian army and the Ukrainian army?
Right. Right, so they know how to work
them. Of course they know how to work them. I mean, just think it through, folks.
And like that wasn't a shoulder launched missile. That had to be a trailer based missile.
Beech would be the American translation. Every Russian missile system is named after a tree. Beech would be the American translation of the name of the tree that the missile is named after. It's a very sophisticated missile system that the Russians have throughout their arsenal. And both sides have them because part of the arsenal.